Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
The heart does not open until the mind has been silenced. Only then will the infinite preciousness of life reveal itself. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Belvaspata World Radio. We are your hosts, Denise and Malou. Welcome, Malou.
Thank you.
And we have just listened to the most exquisite piece of music I've experienced in a really long time. It's so wonderful, Freedom from Illusion, which is created by our wonderful guest tonight, which I'm going to let you introduce, Malou.
Okay, thank you. Our guest tonight, I'm very excited about having her on our show. She's a longtime student of Almeen's, she's a professional classically trained soprano and a grandmaster of Belvaspata healing. She's a teacher of the Devasattva Yoga and the Seven Sacred Breaths of Arasatma. She's also a sound healer, a poet, and an oracle. She's a graduate of Dublin City University and the Royal Irish Academy of Music with a master's in music, specializing in voice and a degree in music education from Trinity College Dublin. She's actively involved in self-expression through singing at concert performances, and she has sung in many countries around the world. She's recorded music for film and TV and radio, and she facilitates master classes incorporating Almeen's tools combined with sound healing and singing. She teaches singing as well and is a voice consultant for children's and adult choirs. She's currently completing new music received from silence and inspired from Almeen's Aruba Firina book of fairy magic and music from the angelic realms of Belvaspata. She's also the co-host of another Almeen radio show called Mystery, Miracles, and Mysticism. It's a great pleasure and honor to have you here, Joanne Harding. Welcome.
Thank you, Malou. Thank you, Denise.
Welcome,
thank you,
Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
We are so excited to have such an esteemed guest with us tonight. And I'm just going to jump in. Joanne, can you share a little piece about little with us for the Freedom from Illusion piece that we just heard? Can you give us what inspired that particular song?
Well, I can tell you how the whole I basically have myself and Karen Folgarelli, who's an artist, and she also plays harps as well. She's another student of Almeen's, and she played the harps for these recordings. She actually came over to Ireland last year, and what sparked it initially was a few years ago I received a transmission from some fairy beings. I write a lot of poetry, and you know, sometimes little transmissions come through, and so these little fairy beings told me that I would be singing their music. So at the time I kind of just thought, okay, that's nice, you know, and just kind of got on with it. And then I suppose a couple of years ago, I was just kind of going through some things, and I decided to really start engaging the spells from the Aruba Farina book. I love that book, and I bring it everywhere. I even bring it to all the retreats that I've been to with Almeen. It always comes in my suitcase with me, you know. And so I kind of feel like I'm bringing fairies with me wherever I go. But anyway, so I started sitting out in the back garden of where I lived at the time, and kind of wrapped myself up in a blanket, and I started reciting all of the fairy spells. And some of them, as I started reciting them, just music started kind of pouring through me, and I started to sing them. It just kind of happened naturally. And then I was on Skype calls to Karen, and between the two of us, she would take out her harps and play, and then I would sing. And then one day, one of us, I can't remember who it was, had the idea, well, why don't we just kind of play together and just see what happens? So we started doing all sorts of things, like we started doing Belvaspata through songs, so the angels would sing through us, and Song of Self, all of the different, you know, little protocols of Belvaspata. And then we just had this idea that, you know, that maybe it would be nice to organize a couple of concerts of some of this music. So in 2013, I was going to Almin's women's retreat that September. So for the first week that I went over to America, I stayed with Karen, and we organized two concerts for some of her clients there. And we just started just playing. We had not prepared any of the music. It just came, like, it changes all the time. So so we started playing and singing the music in her back garden. And, you know, amazing things started to happen. Like, at one point we were singing away and playing, and all the nature started joining in with us. So, you know, as soon as I'd start singing loudly, the wind would build up, the birds would start singing more louder and whatever. And then when we'd get softer, the wind would die down. I mean, it's just incredible what happened. It was a real miracle. And then we just did the two concerts, and it sort of grew out of that. So the following March, then Karen came to Dublin, and we recorded 14 of the fairy songs, pretty much live recordings. So they were just straight through. Yeah, that's pretty much how they were kind of birthed. So
amazing. And actually, Joanne, I don't know if you remember, but at that time we had yourself and Karen on a Life of Miracles radio show, and you were playing some of the music outdoors. I don't think it transferred very as well as on the radio as when we were hearing it. Something got lost in the recording, but it was amazing.
Oh, thank you.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so it was probably at that time that we had started kind of, you know, doing all of this stuff. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. That was that week that I was over in America. That's funny.
Malou, I feel a question from you.
I do.
I do.
I just, because I've... Isn't it true that, like you said, that the fairies are more... I mean, after you started transmitting or singing their music, they're being more physical and more, you know, more present, sort of, in your life?
I suppose just my journey generally has, you know, when you go to retreats with Almin, I suppose you start to become more and more aware as things go along. But I have found that the more that you engage in the fairy music or in any modality, actually, even if you're doing Bhavaspata or whatever as well, I find that the more that you embody it, the more powerful it becomes. And I certainly have found that. I mean, when I'm listening to the, it's still in its editing stages at the moment, so it's hopefully going to be free for release within the next couple of months. But when I listen to the 14 spells in succession, it probably takes over an hour to listen to it, or maybe a little bit longer. But it just totally, it's like they build on each other. They become more and more powerful as they go along. It's almost like an alchemical equation.
Yes, I was just going to say that. It sounds like alchemy.
Yeah, you just start to, you vibrate differently. It just really transports you. And I mean, I say this totally without ego, because I don't really feel that they came from me. I just opened myself up to just receiving whatever came through. And I know the same with Karen as well. There was no thinking involved. It was just allowing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have noticed just as a general rule, I mean, I've seen a lot of fairies. I've always been quite clairvoyant, but more so now, it's like I can see them whizzing around. They look like they're more physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them like, I don't know, some of the listeners might have seen this, but the guys who worked for Almin, he recorded, he did a video recording of some fairies that were just zooming around his workspace. And that's pretty much how I'm seeing them now. I can see their wings and everything. They're very, very clear.
Have you been able to photograph any, Joanne?
I have, yeah. I have photographs of them, even dating back to 2011, 2012. They've been kind of, I remember looking in the mirror one day. I was just getting ready to go out, and for some reason I just felt this urge to take a photograph. So I took a photograph of the mirror, and which I never normally do, but when I looked back at the photograph, it was literally filled with the fairies everywhere. And even actually when I started singing the fairy music outside in the back garden, the more I sang it, the more they seemed to come in. So I actually have one fairy that I know that I saw her being born actually in a vision, and she's very little and she's totally with me all the time. She speaks to me a lot. And when she started initially, she spoke in her own language, but now she speaks in English all the time. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is. Yeah, very sweet.
I just recorded a video of my little boy, because he was dancing, and so can you please tell me? And he was dancing, and the cat was there, and everything. And then when we saw the video, it was just a few minutes. You know, there's fairies whizzing around. You know, and I told him, and he said, "Yes,
yes." That's amazing.
But I love dancing,
and they love music, and anything that, if there's any, I mean, I have had experiences where I'm around people, you know, my friends and, you know, family and whatever, and we're together, especially like the major kind of light workers. If we're together, we just start laughing, and I just know it's actually the fairies, the influence of the fairies, absolutely.
Oh, they make you laugh? Sorry?
We just go into hysterics laughing.
Because of the fairies? I mean,
Okay. Totally. Yeah.
So yeah. You don't feel that they make you sort of sleepy like angels can do?
No, the fairies just make you laugh. Well, that's my experience. The angels can make you sleepy. They can make you very, very expanded. But then it depends on what you're doing as well, because like I've had experiences where I'm doing... when I'm signing the sigils with the when I'm doing Davas Pita, and my hand starts working on its own, like it starts drawing the sigils without my doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I know it's the angels working through me. But I've also had experiences when I'm doing Davas Pita, where I can hear them actually speaking to me, and they're telling me things about the client that I'm working with or whatever. So. Yeah, so it depends. I think if you're required to go really, really sleepy and out, then that's what's going to happen to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I know in the Book of Spells, one of the things Almin says is joy is one of the magic ingredients.
Yeah.
So lots of joy and laughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Playfulness. Yeah. Wow. That's so amazing. And and just, Joanne, do you bring your music into your Belfast Pita sessions? Do you?
Yes, sometimes I do. I've done sessions with people where I've sung the whole session. I'm signing the Belfast Pita session. You'll do your usual expansion that you do at the beginning of the session, and you'll sign in the opening of the mind and the body and the heart and at the navel, and you go into this expanded state, and then the music just pours through me as well. So, you know, every time you do it can be different. Sometimes there's a kind of a similarity between some of the pieces. You'll hear things that you'll have heard before, and then sometimes they just change it depending on what's needed for, you know, any particular moment. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Mm. And the fairies can be very bold as well, by the way. I remember when we were in America, the first night of the concert, the first concert that we did, at one point, Karen just played a piece that was just totally harp, and I was just sitting watching. And I saw this elf, or ferryman, and it's really funny. I was just observing him, and at the time I didn't really realize what he was doing, but I didn't want to disturb the kind of ambience of the Karen had built so beautifully with her playing or whatever, you know. But the following night, for some reason, there was kind of a little bit more interaction with the audience, and at one point I said, you know, and last night Karen was playing the harp, and this fairy man was sitting beside her with an abnormally large flute, and he was playing an abnormally large flute. And then as soon as I said it, I realized what, because I didn't cop on to what he was actually doing. He was just being really, really bold. And everybody in the audience just burst out laughing. And then I suddenly thought, oh no. As soon as I realized what he was actually really doing, you know. So yeah, they can be very, very naughty at the same time, but very, very funny. Very funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's great to have them there.
They know, sometimes like to take little presents away.
Yeah.
Have you done that? That they take
things. Oh, the elves. I've had a few experiences of that just in the since I moved into a new place last November, mm-hmm. and on a few occasions. I'll give you an example of this. My wallet disappeared. And I was absolutely furious, and I was going around the house looking for it, and I was like, give me my wallet back. And I knew it was them, but they just had decided that was it. It was going to disappear. And so I had to go to all the bother of cancelling my card, and then I had to pay to get a new card for my bank and all the rest of it. And months later, after I got my new card, I got a phone call from the bank saying, oh, we have really good news for you. Your wallet has been found. And I said, what? This is, you know, months and months later. And they said, yes, there's a man by the name of Peter such and such. And he found your wallet and, you know, here's his number. And I thought, hang on a second, because I don't really know the neighbors very well here. And I realized it was my next door neighbor. So I rang him straight away because I didn't want to just knock in on him, you know, not really knowing him that well. So I rang him and I said, you know, I said, apparently you found my wallet. And he said, yeah, he said it was outside. He realized it was me, like as in the next door neighbor. And I said, where did you find it? And he said, I found it outside your house. Just there's a kind of a little plot where they have these lovely little bushes growing. And he said that I couldn't have missed it. And I looked everywhere. I searched outside the house. It absolutely wasn't there. And months later, I found it. It wasn't. It should have been rained on and, you know, blown on and all sorts. It should have been in bits at this stage because we've had a lot of rain over the winter months and wind, a lot of strong wind, and it looked like it had been totally untouched. Nothing was taken from it, and it just reappeared. So yeah, I've had other things happen as well. My house keys disappeared after 2 weeks, and they still haven't come back with those yet. So I'm still waiting.
that's incredible, because I've been bothered by that, I would say, my whole life, you know, things disappear, and I've been, you know, my parents, you know, oh, Malu, come on, you know, think, where did you put it somewhere, you know,
yeah.
I could swear I put it, you know, in a certain place, and it's just not there.
Yes.
And then it reappears, you know.
In the same place.
Yeah. Sometimes in the same place, yeah.
That has happened to me where I've put something down and I look at the table or whatever where it is and it's just not there. And I'm like, I'm not actually crazy, it's not there. And then I look again, you know, a few minutes later after driving myself mad looking for it, and I come back and it's
there.
Back where I left it. Yeah.
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 I use the spell sometimes to get it back, because the last time something went missing, I got really angry in fact. or I got sort of upset when I was in the shower. Mm. And then I saw and he spoke to me. It wasn't him speaking to me. It was a fairy actually speaking to me, saying that it was him who took it. and he was wearing a green outfit.
Oh, wow. So
and
dope.
I saw it wasn't, yeah, I saw him, but he wasn't moving, so it's like a vision or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got his name, and now I can't remember it, but it was an elfin, a man, and he was just waking me up. It was just for fun, and I said, well, it's not funny, you know, I want this back, and I can't remember what it was now. And you know, I found it in the garbage can.
Yeah.
I opened just to put something in there, and there it is. I said, oh, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
I did not throw it out. It was pretty important. So.
Yeah.
It just disappeared from the shelf or cupboard or wherever.
Yeah, I've told the elves to not live in my house. Fairies, I don't mind, but the elves would wreak havoc. You'd never. And actually, I'm not so sure that they have all disappeared because I still have had things go missing on me even recently. So, yeah. I'm not really sure.
Do you use the spell sometimes to get it back?
There's
a spell to, you know, for.
Yeah, I do to return that which is lost. I have used the spells. Mostly things do return, but the odd time they haven't reappeared as of yet. But you never know.
No, I know.
Have you worked with the Elfin Quest cards, Joanne?
Not really as much. Mostly I've worked with the Angel God cards.
The divinity quest.
I'm looking at the card deck in front of me now, actually. Yeah, I haven't really. I've done the. I did the course, all right. The art of happiness and all that stuff that went with it. But I haven't actually worked that much with it yet. I should really.
Yeah. I think you might enjoy it a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And what about the Book of Spells? Have you?
I absolutely love the Book of Spells.
Me too.
I love it. It came. It was probably a week before Christmas, and in fact, I had bought a few copies of it as gifts for some of my friends. So it arrived, and because I wasn't really sure where I was going to live. I was kind of in between moving. So it arrived at my sister's house first, and she brought it to my house, and it was in a box, and I just didn't want to open it. I think it was just before Christmas, and I was thinking, this is my Christmas present. And it might have even been Christmas Eve. I can't remember now. But it was just the vibration was incredible. I felt this wave of happiness just moved through me that was just inexplicable, and then I realized it has to be the book. It's almost like when you have like a toy that you've had since you were a child, like a teddy bear or something like that, and every now and again you kind of dust it off and give it a hug or whatever. And this is what this book feels like. It feels like I've hugged my book. I've kissed my book.
Me too.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but I've actually hugged it. It feels like a comfort. Mm-hmm. And I do every single night, even if my eyes are hanging out of my head, there are certain spells that I will do absolutely every single night just before I go to bed. And actually one of them that I'm doing all the time, for anybody who's got, has had issues with abundance or anything like that, do the abundance spells every night. Before I moved into this place, where I'm, Dublin is quite an expensive place to live. This is where I'm living, and I'm, paying rent by myself. I'm not kind of sharing rent with anybody. So before I moved in, it was kind of a real leap of faith. I really didn't know how I was going to pay to live here. The rent here is 1,100 euro a month, which is quite steep. And I just didn't really want to kind of share with people that I didn't know and all that kind of stuff. And so in the end, I just decided, I'm just going to go with it and just pray that, what I need will be given to me. And so I got my deposit together and I've been doing the spells, and it's been a miracle. I don't know how I'm doing it, but, I have things coming in where I'm being asked to sing at things or to give master classes in singing or to, do concerts or organize weddings or whatever. And money just seems to come just when I need it. and I'm really convinced. I've never been busier in all my life. It's like, you know, it's a miracle, actually. So I know my heart, when you use these bells, and I think, you see, the thing is, that for me, because singing is so much a part of who I am, I really, you know, when you can visualize something with your mind, it's a very good and powerful tool. But when you can visualize it and use your heart is like, you know, boundless in terms of what you can manifest. If you can use your heart to manifest things. So when I sing, I naturally connect more with my body, and obviously with my heart as well, because it's such a joy for me to sing. So when I use the spells and I sing them, it's amazing what happens. It's very different from just reading something and reciting it over again. And actually singing it, I really feel the power of it, and I would highly recommend it to anybody just to start expressing in that way, to start, you know, engaging in singing. It's just such a powerful thing, a powerful manifestation tool.
And it just adds a different frequency to the words. I agree with that.
And I actually find as well, Denise, that things tend to manifest pretty much instantly now.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of that's happening now with all the cosmic changes too.
Totally.
Everybody doing the Kanish Bhavasata, I think, is having a huge impact. I feel it cosmically. So exciting things ahead.
I was thinking something, just, you know, it just entered my mind. Right, in fact, would it be okay? I mean, would you like to sing for us?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
No, now or later, or would that be all right with you?
Yeah. Let me just see if something just comes out of my mouth from silence. I'll just see if it does, and if not, I can pick a spell as well. So you'll have to excuse me and just see whatever emerges.
Mm-hmm. And looking out at the ocean and just one with everything. It's exquisite.
Was that a spell, or was that just, you know, from silence and not knowing beforehand what came out?
Not knowing at all. I had no idea. Yeah. And I'm hearing the words actually with it. It's like the song is saying, like, mother is here, mother is here.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you say that. When you started to sing, I could feel Almin very strongly.
Wow.
Yes. I could feel her and I could hear her somehow in your voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's with the Freedom from Illusion spell, that was Almin. That was not me. Yeah.
I was feeling a resonance, like, in my heart. My whole chest felt like it was vibrating with when you were singing.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
I look so much forward to the whole album, to hear all the other songs.
Oh, thanks, Malou. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to just being able to just, you know, get them out there and release them. I know that a few people have listened to them on, you know, on the Roots and Wings group or whatever, and we've had very positive feedback, and a lot of people really resonated with them. So yeah, it'll be lovely, and it feels to me like you know, in a way, like it's I want to do it for the fairies as well, you know.
Yes.
So, talking about Roots and Wings, can you, Joanne, and maybe Malou as well, just for our listeners who are not familiar with the whole project that's coming up, can you share with us what treats that people would be in for, or how can they sign up? How can they get involved? Yep. Can you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a 5-day retreat that's happening in Thessaloniki in Greece, and it's happening at the time of the summer solstice, so it's the 17th to the 21st of June. And what we're doing is myself and Malou, Mark, Vanessa, and who am I missing?
Costas,
thank you. we've decided to kind of work together to create this event so that we can, you know, gather anybody who wants to be part of it, to engage in, you know, the yogas and the Arasatma breathing techniques. We'll be doing yogas every morning and the Arasatma every evening. And what we really want to do is to kind of merge reality. So we're merging without and within, and, you know, stillness and motion, all that kind of stuff. So the venue itself is happening in the center of Thessaloniki, but it's in a beautiful street that's pedestrianized, so there are no cars. And then on two of the days, and one of the days, we're going to be going to this beautiful village in Mount Olympus. And it's literally a village in a forest. It's really, really beautiful. And are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to be there, and we're going to be doing yogas and engaging in nature and actually creating art through engaging with nature as well. So essentially it's a merging of all of Almin's tools with the particular gifts that we have. So when I'm working with my students at home, I help students to kind of become silent, so that their mind becomes silent and that they become more of a fluid field when they're singing. Because the more open you are, the more open and expanded you are, the more open your body is, the more your voice just opens. And so that's how I work with my students. And I also do kind of Arasatma breathing techniques, kind of integrate that with my teaching. So I'll be using those tools, like for singing, also to help with manifestation, and just also for self-expression. We'll also have an art exhibition. So we're inviting people, even people who just can't make it to the retreat but would love to send over their art. We have a theme which is coming home, and they can post their artwork on Roots and Wings on Facebook if they would like their art to be displayed at the exhibition. You'll find out more information on that group as well. And we wanted to do it, you know, because we felt that it was time to kind of come into our power and really express ourselves and teach what Almin has given us, but also as a way of supporting Almin, and you know, by kind of making her products available at the retreat, so that you know, people can buy her books or T-shirts or whatever, and so that was kind of the whole idea behind it. So,
wonderful. It's interesting for me because originally I was, before everything happened with Almin and we were planning, normally we have the summer solstice in Killarney and it was time for a change, and I know Costas has done amazing work over the years for Almin and really was wanted to have the retreat there in Greece. So it's, you know, so wonderful that, you know, he's taken up the mantle to, you know, really push ahead with that and make it happen anyway. So I think that's fantastic. And Malou, what are you going to be sharing? What are you bringing?
The whole schedule and who's doing what and things are not it's not completely in place yet. So, but I would like to share the sabbahut and perhaps the yoga. I know we're doing the yoga, but I don't know who's doing what exactly. But I'm, you know, the clarity and the sharing of information of Almin's teachings, I really enjoy that. And that's very close to my heart. So, and then perhaps writing.
Oh, good.
Are
you going to offer message? Because I know you're very clairvoyant. Are you going to offer messages too?
perhaps. I don't know yet.
Still unfolding.
Still unfolding. Yeah.
And the oils. Will you have the oils available?
Yes. Yeah. We'll bring the oils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful.
And they'll also be for anybody who's interested in Bálvaspitáil. There'll be Bálvaspitáil initiations will be taking place on the last day as well. So, you know, for people who haven't been initiated and who've kind of done the background work or whatever, that's going to be available as well. And actually, just so that people know as well, for anybody who's interested in art, I know we mentioned about the art exhibition, but Vanessa is also a very fine artist, and she'll be sharing her gifts as an artist because she's a phenomenal oracle, and a lot of the oracle work that she receives comes through her artwork. So she'll be kind of sharing her perspective on that as well. And it'll also be quite open-ended as well because, you know, we'll have opportunities for people to kind of share their, you know, their own experiences of working with the tools. We'll have little opportunities for kind of discussion panels, you know, during the retreat as well. So it'll be, you know, I know for people who are, like us, have been studying with Almin for a long time, you know, they're kind of old hat at this stuff, but you know, they'll also have an opportunity to kind of share their experiences at the retreat as well. So it's not just for the new, it's for everybody who just wants to, you know, to meet. And I mean, you guys already know this, we're, you know, when you go to these retreats, when you connect with people who are your family,
exactly,
it's incredible, you know,
incredible.
Magic happens. Yeah.
Yes, that's been one of the most, profound things that has happened. You know, of course, connecting with Almin and all the tools and all the teachings and everything else, but connecting with you know, my family's just been the most fantastic thing that has happened. That's you know, a major part of the reason why I just absolutely love retreats.
It's like the massive facets of the infinite are connecting with each other, and you feel the feeling of literally, you know, coming home, which is actually the theme of the art exhibition, Coming Home.
Yes.
It's beautiful. And it is true. I remember just from the cruise thinking when it was all over, oh my gosh, when am I going to see these, my life family? Then you get, you know, so connected to people. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're all in different countries, and it's, I don't know when's the next time I'm going to see you, but you just trust that we're all connected. But it is, it's so wonderful to get together and you know, be one heart, one mind. Creates miracles.
From our perspective as well, it's really nice to see all the beautiful projects that people are kind of, you know, engaged in as well. You know, even on the Roots and Wings site, because you don't normally, even when you go to a retreat, you know, you connect with the beautiful beings, but you don't necessarily see the beautiful artwork that they're coming up with, or their music, or whatever, you know. So on the Roots and Wings group, we have submissions from Avril from Wales, and from Karen Folgarelli, and from a Greek lady, Maria.
Anastanidis, I
think. Thank you for pronouncing her name. And from Jean? Yeah. You know, and from Vanessa as well, and Costas. And so it's just really nice. It's a lovely platform to share. And, you know, we just feel that so many beautiful things are going to come of this. And for me, creative expression is just so important. It's so important to express the beauty of the world, because this is why we're here. We're here to express all of the beautiful things that we are, the works of art that we are. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We may even get some submissions from Almeen. You never know. It'd be lovely.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, we're waiting. We're waiting to hear back. Wow. So we'll see. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Did you have something else, Malou?
I was thinking if I would like to ask you a little bit about Belvis Batar. Would that be okay, Joanne?
Of course, yeah.
Because, I know that you're a longtime student of Almeen's. I think you go back until 2006, right?
2006, yeah.
Yeah. When did you get introduced to Belvis Batar? Was that also in 2006? Or when was that?
Belvis Batar came in later that year. I think Almeen had... first retreat that I went to was... I actually remember specifically the dates. It was April 26th. The 30th of 2006, that will tell you. That was when I was really born.
Yeah.
You know, it was a 5-day birthing process. But anyway, so Belvis Batar came in when Almeen was in Ireland. So it's very, I know, Malou, you really love Belvis Batar as well. It's very special to you as well. But so she was talking about how the laws of the cosmos had kind of changed overnight, and all of a sudden, if I remember correctly, these butterflies or something came flying through the room, and she started writing these sigils or angel names down on a board, and that's how Belvis Batar kind of came about. So pretty much since she started, and I remember Grace, who lives up in Northern Ireland, and a few people from the Irish retreat started gathering all of this information, and we had them literally on pages. I actually have them in a box somewhere in the house with the original, very original Belvis Batar sigils that Almeen produced before they started, you know, becoming the books. And so I started working with it pretty much as soon as I was able to get my hands on the angelic sigils. So yeah, so I've been pretty much working on it since that time.
I mean, yeah.
I found, you know, as life is moving up, it's, you know, vibrationally we're getting higher and higher.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more profound. So to the point now where, you know, sometimes I'll be working with a student and a sigil will just, you know, happen to come out of my hand and into wherever it's needed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though doing a session is amazing and I wouldn't not do one, you just embody them so much that,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a sort of a, like a favorite modality? Or do you think all of them equally much?
I think that I really loved the Song of Self because it's a song.
Yeah.
But I also, I've been singing all of the Bel Vespertà as well. So I love the Fragrance Alchemy. I just think it's absolutely magical. Mm-hmm. Absolutely magical. When I started doing the Carnish Bel Vespertà and I started embodying all of the wheels, I went into absolute ecstasy doing them. I mean, totally, totally ever expanded states. The Carnish is absolutely amazing.
It is.
I love the Bel Vespertà of Oneness as well. When I do Bel Vespertà of Oneness, I mostly it's then that it happens. My hand starts moving of its own accord. So it's not like I'm doing the sigils. The sigils are moving through me. And I become very expanded doing those as well. I can't say that there's any that's more profound than another. They're all absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I've had incredible experiences with them. I mean, you know, I had one woman, a few of us did Bel Vespertà with her. She had a stroke and her family were told to prepare for her passing. And I saw her in a vision and I spoke to her and asked her, did she want to live? And she said she did. So I continued to work with her. And the following morning she woke up she, you know, she wasn't perfect, but she was able to speak and she knew where she was and whatever. So it was a total miracle. I had another incredible experience, in which one of them, I worked with a mother and son. The son, I worked with them separately, the son first. And with the son, they had lost he had lost his brother, or she had lost her son very suddenly. And he came into the session during the session and started speaking about why he had left and why there were problems during his lifetime. And, you know, the person that I was doing the Bel Vespertà session, the brother, was able to communicate with the angels and with his brother during the session.
Wow.
Telepathically. We were all talking to each other. None of us, I spoke to him afterwards and he said, and I told you this, and I said yes, and I told you this, and so on. We were able to go back and tell each other what we had actually said during the session. It was profound. Then I did the session with his mother, and again he appeared, the man who had died, and he put his hand on her face. Now, I never touch a client when I'm working with them, unless it's kind of an accidental tipping when you're drawing the sigil. And afterwards, I spoke to her, and she told me, she said, I spoke to her, and I said, you know, he was there. And she said, yeah, I felt him. And she said, you know, I said, and you know, he put his hand on the side of your face. And she said to me, you know, but that was you, wasn't it? And I said, no, I didn't. I don't touch clients when I'm working with them. And she was just amazed because she actually physically felt him touching her on the side of the face. I had another session where this beautiful young man, I could see inside his being, and he was literally made of crystal gems. The experiences I have had with Bel Vespertà are profound beyond imagining. I've countless stories, healings, people who had tumors, who are still alive today. Incredible stuff. Incredible.
Oh.
Yeah.
It is miraculous. Wow. Well, we'll have to have you back, Joanne, just to
talk about
Belvaspitar.
Yeah.
For sure. And we're just actually at the end of our show here. That hour goes so fast, honestly.
I know.
But thank you so much for taking the time to join Malou and I tonight. We're so grateful for your presence and all that you gift to the world is miraculous. Thank you, Joanne.
Well, I'm so grateful, Denise. Thank you so much. And Malou, I'm really, really grateful to have been asked to come on to the show. And if you ever want me to come back on again, I'd be delighted to.
Oh, so, we'd love to.
So much. Really, really grateful.
Definitely. And thank you, Malou. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us tonight. And we will be back next week. Have a magical week.
Gnuch auvastra claunet varbi. Fresh brahma vuhet uklet framastri. Felus fraverhat usha.